Perhaps because more Western ideas and media are filtering into China now, there's a kind of generational war taking place. Many of my coworkers at Radio Peking told me how young adults, those in their early 20s, are battling with their parents for the right to play. Yes, play. That's how the Chinese describe the desire to date, which has always been discouraged. But even with this new desire for romance and fun, as one of the students said, there's still not much opportunity for social intercourse among young singles. One problem is the occupational segregation of men and women workers. For example, steel plants are staffed mostly by men, whereas textile factories hire mostly women.
They get up and go to work, and after work, go back home. Factory home, factory home. And on Sundays or workday off, they have to do a lot of family home chores or something like that. So it's very difficult for them to find suitable friends. Sometimes their sisters, brothers, classmates, schoolmates will act as a go-between, say, "Ew, you have you any suitable boys for my sister?"
Parents of girls who asked me to be maybe a part-time matchmaker for their girls.
Go-between.
A go-between, or rather a go-between. But I would rather put it as a part-time matchmaker. And I think parents of more than six girls asked me to do so.
During the year I was in China, the first matchmaking bureaus opened, one in Shanghai and another in Peking. But couples still must apply to their work units for permission to marry. And in the cities, you may have to wait for a while. The minimum age for marriage was raised in 1980 so that a man must be 22 and a woman 20. But newspapers regularly advise young couples to postpone marriage until their late 20s, most likely as a way to delay childbirth in an effort to control the population. But in the cities, there's another problem which affects when you can marry.
The most difficult problem is finding a house. If you haven't got a house, how can you get married? And the house you have to apply in your work units. If you are older, say perhaps 30 or 31, you have the chance more likely to get a room, 10 meters square or something like that. If you are just 22 and you want to get married, if you have a house or extra room in your parents' house, it's easy for you. But in actual, it's impossible. Housing is the main element, decisive factor. So when some people want to find a girlfriend or a boyfriend, the first requirement, somebody just asked, "Have you extra room?"
Some couples still get married without houses. For example, in Changchun, a city of northeast, the husband living in the collective dormitory, while his wife live in women's dormitory. So they are called Niulang and Zhini. They can see each other, but they cannot live in the same room. There are many cases.
The housing crisis is a problem of the cities, not the countryside. Apparently little new housing was built during the Cultural Revolution and period of the Gang of Four. And then when the young people, who had been sent to the countryside during the late 60s, began returning to the cities in the late 70s, the pressures on living space grew to crisis proportions. I visited homes where several children are dovetailed in a bed, or parents sleep with teenage children and a grandparent in the same room.
And in some departments or some work units, the leadership prepare a special apartment for a newly married couple. One couple can only be allowed to live in for 1 month, and then they have to leave the house. And then another newly married couple can move in. Yes. If you want to live longer than 1 month, and you have to pay for the
honeymoon paradise.
And each day, the second month, one couple should pay 50 cents each day. And for the third month, it is raised. You have to pay 1 yuan a day. They cannot afford.
While some newly married couples may not share a room together, for others, a new house and furnishings are part of the marriage deal. During my year in Peking, newspapers regularly criticized the high cost of weddings, a tendency toward lavish celebrations, as well as big cash gifts from the in-laws. And it seems a new materialism is creeping into the decision about who to marry. For example, one expression that young women use to describe a desirable husband is one who can provide 36 legs, 4 things that go round, and 3 things that make noise. The 36 legs refer to the total number of furniture legs, like table, chairs, sofa, and wardrobe, while the 4 things that go round are a watch, a fan, a bicycle, and a sewing machine. 3 things that make noise are a TV, radio, and cassette deck.
When I married, I was as poor as a church mouse at that time. That's a jargon, as poor as church mouse. Yeah, I have 2 legs, my own legs. So yeah, I have no other legs besides my 2 legs. So I got a wife. Yes, a lovely wife, I should say.
So far as I know, it's like very important among workers. They think if their room is not very well furnished, it will make them lose face before their girlfriends or boyfriends.
I used to work in the countryside, in the northeast. There, the girls all pay great attention to the material things. And in Heilongjiang province, it usually will cost a man about 3,000 or 4,000 yuan to get married, including a new house and all the furniture and so on.
And the things are quite different between the people in living in the city and in the rural areas. In the countryside, the family of the boy has to get a lot of property for the family of the girls.
Yeah. Do you think that's a carryover, a holdover from the old society, or is this have something to do with some new conditions in the country?
No, it has nothing to do with the older society. Because in the past, when you have a girl, usually it will cost the parents of the girl a lot of money to get the girl married. But now it's reversed. And I think there is good reason for their parents. As I was in the countryside, I know it. And because once your girls, if you have only girls, all get married, then there will be nobody to live together with you, and they feel that they should be compensated or like that.
In China, especially in the countryside, daughters marry out of the family while sons bring their brides to their parents' household. Men make more money in the commune work point system and are expected to look after their parents in old age. Therefore, peasants usually want to have several sons. Yet the government is promoting the one-child family as a strategy to slow down China's population growth. Despite the financial incentives for having only one child, like cash bonuses and preferential treatment for health and education, the peasants are resisting. But among urban intellectuals, there is a sense of resignation.
In 1960s, the state said 2 children are best. But now the state said 1 is best. In my own opinion, I think 2 children are best because they may have a partner. One child usually is lonely and selfish.
Well, and what do you think of the idea of the state defining family size?
It's necessary at present. For China, I think overpopulation is really a problem in China now. It really affects people's living standards and the four modernizations.
It's not a question of should or shouldn't. For the present, the state has to stipulate laws to interfere. Otherwise, we can't check the overgrowth of the population. So I think it's a temporary measure. Personally, I think 2-child family is better.
One of the 1980 revisions to the marriage law states that couples are duty-bound to practice family planning. Yet I found single Chinese in their late 20s ignorant about birth control, despite the new trend among urban youth toward dating and the romantic love themes once again appearing in plays, films, and short stories. So I was curious about what kind of sex and birth control education was available.
On the honeymoon, the neighborhood committee will pay you a visit. Yeah, most neighborhood committees will pay you a visit and give you some advice on birth control and persuade you to have only one child.
Actually, before the so-called Cultural Revolution, in middle school, for the children among the age of 14 or 15, there was a kind of class, something like human bodies, education on human bodies, and the basic sexual knowledge was taught. But during Cultural Revolution, it was denounced as a sort of bourgeois idea, something like that. And it was totally ignored during the 10 years revolution.